Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 3 John 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers." And of course, we've covered God desires to prosper us in all things. God desires that we would be in health. But there's a caveat here, or a condition, or a factor, even as your soul, or just as your soul prospers. The soul is the mind, the intellect, the seat of emotions. It's the place where decisions and judgments are made. That's the soul. Different from the spirit of a man, different from the body of a man. And of course, when I say man, I mean men and women, and even those who aren't sure what they are. So anyway, we've been talking about prospering our souls, or another way to say it is growing your soul. Go with me then, as we go here to Hebrews chapter 6. We looked at this scripture. Last week, I talked about an anchored soul, or having an anchor for your soul. It's another way of saying being stable, unmovable. And all of us know people, maybe we were those people, where just emotion flares up and, you know, you're just kind of all over the place. One day is a good day, next day just down as could be. Emotions can be very treacherous. If we obey emotions, we can go all kinds of crazy places. And so emotions are a servant, are to be a servant to us, not the other way around. With this that's happened with my wife being hit with this brain aneurysm, stroke, and so on, I have experienced quite a lot of emotion. And I have cried tears. And I have broken down. But, okay, do that and get right back up. Amen. Amen. And I've learned it's good to feel it.
Yes.
But it's not good to obey it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So I've done all of that, but I don't obey it. Okay, we've done that. Blow your nose and let's go. A prospered and anchored soul, becoming steady, unmovable. But Hebrews 6 and verse 18, let's go there. We're going to talk a little bit about anchored soul again today and take it a little further. It says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Now that word, you maybe think along the lines of strong assurance or confidence or certainty. We might have strong certainty who have fled for refuge. I would just stop there for a second. We're not talking about being strong in yourself. An island. Somebody that don't need nobody. That's not what we're talking about. Remember we looked at a little thing earlier about Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't know anyone except a prideful person that thinks they got it all together and they can do it. Right? Every one of us. I will say first, boy, I need the Lord. Boy, I need the Lord. And I need His strength. I need His strength. Some folk have complimented me, even have told me, you know, in this recent thing, standing strong, they've said, "I'm so proud of you." And as I think I mentioned last week, I still don't know really how to answer that. Well, okay, yeah, I understand, I get that. Yet, I didn't go down this road so somebody could be proud of me. You know, I didn't go down this road voluntarily really at all. Didn't choose it. But while I'm here, how it turns out matters to me. And I want it to turn out a certain way, and I better stay strong so it turns out that way. Pride or whatever's got nothing to do with it. So I think I said last week, you know, I don't know if I'm a strong man or a desperate man. Which one is it? And it's sort of, it don't matter. It don't matter. Yeah. One of the phrases that I have in my heart that's come up, I may write about sometime, you know, it says this: there's no student of the word like the one desperate for an answer. Yeah. You want to really study out the Bible? Have a need that you're desperate to do something about, and you'll go find the answers.
Yes.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. So flee for refuge. Flee for refuge. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to hightail it and run. What is it? One of the Psalms? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Run like a chicken. Amen. Run to the strong tower. Run for refuge. Know that out there by yourself, you're not prepared for what may come. Amen. You need the strength of the Lord. You need the brothers and sisters. Yes, you do. So, who have fled for refuge to lay hold. Boy, I got to stop again. Have you heard this thing? Let go and let God. It's baloney. We can start going through some scriptures and find many where it talks about laying hold. Now, that maybe is an old-fashioned way of saying, put your hand on it and don't let go, and don't let go, and don't let go, and don't let go, and I'm not letting go. Jacob did this in that night of his vision where he saw the angels ascending and descending. And he was saying, God, if you'll bless me. And it says that he would not let the Lord go. I won't let you go until you bless me. You will find in the Bible stories the people who were almost rude or could be accused of being rude with the Lord. Abraham did this. Well, now, Lord, you're going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. What if there's 50 righteous? Well, I won't destroy it for the 50. Well, what if we're only missing 5 and it's 45 righteous? Well, and what did he do? He took it all the way down. Lord, don't be angry, but I'm going to speak yet once more. What if there be only 10?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He wouldn't let go of it.
No.
And I don't know for sure why he quit. Maybe he thought 10. Well, there'll be 10. There wasn't. But 3 escaped. Do you believe, like I do, that if he would have said, what if there's only 3 righteous? Will you destroy for the sake of 3 righteous? He would have said, I will not destroy. And it would have been Abraham, taking to the Lord his desires and the Lord acknowledging such things. So what I'm getting at here is the Bible's full of occasions and exhortations. You grab onto something and you don't let it go. And you don't let it go. And you don't let it go. Because people who say this, let go and let God, what they're talking about is just fall back, do nothing, leave it in the hands of God. It's all up to God. It's a prostitution of the teaching on grace. It's all God anyway. God's got to do it. I can't do anything about this. It's all God. No, you're going to lay hold of the promise. You're going to make a stand. You're going to put on the whole armor of God. You're going to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
A lot of folks think, you know, we'll just kick back and God will do it all. No. It's a fight. It's a fight. God promised Israel a promised land. And it's theirs. They spied it out and said, woohoo, yeah, it's a great land. It's theirs. Guess what? To obtain the promise, you're going to have a fight. Now, Joshua and Caleb got it right. We are well able. We can take these guys. And in the Lord, they could, and they did. And a generation later, they did. Right? They could have done that immediately. So know this. If there's a promise of God to you of health, of well-being, of blessing and prosperity of every kind, it's the promised land. And you've spied it out, and you've seen it's a good land. Guess what? There's giants in that land. Get ready. There's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. But you are well able. God has given. Caleb said this just concerning the giants. He said, they're bread for us. In other words, we're going to eat their stuff. We're going to take it from them. All that they've put together. Remember, the promise of the Lord was, I'm going to take you to a place where you're going to live in houses you didn't have to build. You're going to eat from orchards you didn't have to plant and tend. You're going to drink from vineyards that you didn't plant. It's yours. Walk into it. Well, I'm all for walking right into the blessing. Right?
Yeah.
But it's not a walk like I just demonstrated. It's a walk like fight, 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 fight. Amen. So the promises are there, but you're going to fight for them. You're going to lay hold. Amen? So next time you hear this let go and let God, you're looking at somebody that's going to be defeated if they live like that. And of course, they need to blame God for everything because God's doing it all. So when it doesn't work out, well, it wasn't the will of God. Children of Israel could have said that. If it was the will of God that we entered into the promised land, well, he would have done it. And he didn't. So therefore, we can see it wasn't the will of God. And what happened? God got angry with them. Why? Because they wouldn't accept the fight. It's a way of saying it. Yeah. They wouldn't accept the fight. So lay hold of the hope. We talked about hope a little bit. Set before us. Hope, Bible hope, the original word in Greek means confident and favorable expectation. Now in English, things we hope will happen. I hope it's sunny and pleasant tomorrow. Maybe it will be, maybe it won't. I haven't looked at a forecast. I don't know. But that's how we use the word and understand hope. I hope it will, but I have no promise or assurance. Even if I did look at the forecast and they're forecasting a nice sunny day tomorrow, you know how good forecasts are. Right. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. So that's usually when we read the word hope, how we think. But in Bible terms, it is not that at all. It is something you expect. I expect this and that, whatever it might be, will happen. Well, how can you expect such a thing? And you have to be able to answer that question. Well, I expect it because God said it. Yes. And if God said it and I receive it into my heart and make it mine, it now is true to me. And I'm releasing faith for it. And regardless of what it looks like, I expect and it will come to pass. Mm-hmm. That's what Bible hope is. We know that 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. Mm-hmm. That's our three greatest Bible subjects, love, faith, and hope. And hope is the one that's least understood. Partly because we don't know what the original word meant, but it's an expectation. A lot of times we ask one another, well, what do you believe? Mm-hmm. And what my faith says, I believe such and such. Well, faith is actually a demonstrable action. It has substance and evidence, according to Hebrews 11:1. But what you believe is your expectation. It's your hope. It's not your faith. Hope always precedes faith. When you have come to expect a thing, you will begin to act on it. And then it has substance, and then it's evidence. So hope always precedes. So if we have trouble releasing faith and obtaining by faith, it actually is a hope problem, not a faith problem. I have seen through the years, and I see it by the word as well, when I get expectation and hope worked out, the faith walk is easy. Doing what I need to do. Every day, several times a day, I speak scriptures over my wife. That's the releasing of my faith, the continuation of my faith. That's substance and evidence. Why do I do that? Because of my expectation. If you would take away my expectation, I'd be going through the motions and there'd be no power. Well, I read this book that said I'm supposed to say the word. And well, the word, let's see, Jesus, by his stripes, ye were healed, or you were healed. First Peter said that. So, yeah, I'll try that. That'll work. And I would say, by his stripes, you're healed. But if my expectation was, let's see if this works, or maybe she will, maybe she won't, there is no faith involved in speaking those words over her. Expectation, hope, has to be worked out first. Now, it says here, laying hold of hope set before us. It says in the next verse, 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So now I know where hope has to take residence, where hope happens, where hope lives, and where I need to work to get this hope. It's in the soul. The soul is the mind, the intellect, the processes of thoughts, the judgments, the emotions. You can see the emotions of one who has hope and the one who does not. Pretty easy to see. You see something happen and people just falling apart, they have no hope. We had occasion in the month that we were in the neuro ICU with my wife, where there's all these rooms around, and 80, 90% of them pass away in the condition like Pastor Sandy was. And we saw families gather. Every day there was somebody new, another family gathers, and you could hear them pray, you could hear them sort of say some things, but then you could hear them also fall apart. And in desperation, and even begging God, and hanging on every word from the doctor. And I realized their expectation and hope, if you could call it that, was in the doctor, the circumstances, and hopefully a sign of good things. Because they will tell you, the med professionals, they'll tell, oh, this is a good sign. This is good. I'll grant you, it's good to hear. But if you're betting on good signs, you could really be in trouble. Or said the other way, if setbacks happen, or good signs are not there, or this is a bad sign, if that rocks your world, your hope, your expectation is not properly anchored. And so a soul that's not anchored experiences the roller coaster ride.
Yes.
Have you been on that roller coaster?
Yes.
I have. I've been there. I have experienced the highs and joys and the lows, low, low. In recent times, it's not a roller coaster ride. To me, all I hear is clicking. You know what I mean by that? When the roller coaster is going up, it goes click, 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 click. And when they give me bad report, didn't matter. When they said this is a bad sign, didn't matter. The guy next door, they just pulled the plug, and he's in the process of dying. Doesn't matter. I'd do something for that family if I could. But the Lord told me there's nothing I could do for them. They weren't, no ears to hear. But if you'll get your soul anchored, you anchor it by hope, Bible hope, confident, favorable expectation. When you get there, faith flows from you easily and readily. And Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and, can you finish it with me? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a reward. There's a reward for the one who expresses faith, who enters into faith. You won't get there without an anchored soul in hope. We have to help one another with our soul before we get as far as releasing faith. Amen. So this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. And it goes into some technicalities of the new covenant there about the presence of the Lord. But you can see there that you enter the presence of the Lord with hope. So hope is what anchors us. That happens in the soul. An anchored soul is a prospered soul. Maybe this would be a good place to just toss this too. You could be anchored in one area and not anchored in another. My wife and I grew strong through the years in anchoring concerning our financial lives, the Lord providing provision and prosperity to us. But I found a whole new challenge for me in the area of divine healing for the body. And I had to, real quick, get up to speed on that, right? So it could be that you just have great faith in one area and maybe very little in another area. You might not have been tested yet in that. You're not anchored yet in that. And so some of these things, faith is not a generality. It's a specific. It requires a specific word of God. Mm-hmm. I needed particular scriptures and words of God for the particular battle that I was in, that I am in. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to show you something here. This happens in the soul. We can have troubles in our soul. I'm not going through a comprehensive list, but here's one that's interesting. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children, and it goes on. Israel's, I think this is the section of scripture talking about some false teachers and some problems there. But look who's susceptible to that. Look who can be led astray. Look who can get into all kinds of trouble. Unstable souls. Would you agree with me? An unstable soul is an unanchored soul.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is. When a soul is unanchored, there's a world of possibility, a world of trouble that can come creeping in, and people are not prepared for it. They give in to all kinds of things. And so let's say a sudden need, maybe like the one that came into our life, where a family member is struck suddenly. A car accident could be like this. Just all of a sudden, you're there. And you have to have something to draw upon. If you're an unstable soul, you're probably used to giving in to emotion, fear. Boy, fear was a major thing for me to fight back and to fight off. And if you're unstable, you'll just go the way of fear. Then you'll say things that give way to fear. Would you agree the children of Israel didn't go into the promised land because of fear? So they didn't get the promise because they gave way to fear. And they said it too. It'd be better just to go back to Egypt than to be killed out here in this wilderness. We can't go in there. There's giants. So they spoke their fears because of unstable souls. And then they received what they said. They did die in the wilderness. So we must become anchored, not unstable. World of trouble for the unstable soul. This word unstable, if you look it up in the Greek dictionary, it means weak. Weak souls. A lot of times we talk about spiritual growth, being strong spiritually, but probably we would be more accurate to say being strong in our souls. Mind, intellect, emotions, feelings, the place where judgments and decisions are made, the place where we work on knowledge. It's interesting how much the scriptures go through obtaining the knowledge of Christ. By the way, that's where the hope and strength comes from. Starts with knowledge, then a judgment of, do I believe that knowledge? Yeah, I believe that. And if that's the case, you become strong. And this definition is further explained. You can understand it this way. Changeable in views and attitudes. How changeable are you in view and attitude as the pressure goes up? Well, we're going to stand strong in faith. We're standing on the word on this, and the pressure goes up. Well, we're still standing strong, but the pressure goes up. I think we're standing strong. The pressure goes up. I'm having trouble standing strong. The pressure goes up. This is too much. I can't do it. That's being changeable. And remember, we looked at 1 Corinthians. God will not allow us to be tested or tempted beyond what we're able to bear. If it comes your way and God has already allowed it, you can do it. But I will promise you, your first thoughts are, I can't do this. This is too much. And you're going to have to get a hold of that scripture, and you're going to have to get a hold of your soul, and you're going to have to say, soul, this has happened. And it's this pressure. And God will not allow too much pressure on me. But He says, I can bear it. And He's faithful. Thank God He's faithful. Soul, God is faithful. He will help me. Soul, God will help you. And he will provide a way of escape with this test. And the way of escape is not just a get out of jail free card. Everybody prays for those. Don't you wish when you played that board game Monopoly, every card was a get out of jail free card? They're not. That's not what it's being talked about. The way of escape is hope in the soul and faith and overcoming, being an overcomer. Thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's the speaking from hope.
Yes. Yes,
that's the way of escape. The way to escape the fight is to win it, not just get out of it. And we can become proficient in winning quickly and efficiently. And we can become proficient in winning every single time. Looking back, our family, we have won every battle. Some are ongoing, some are yet to come. But I expect to win every single battle. Changeable in views and attitudes. Be unmovable. Be unchangeable. When that soul is anchored in the Word, it's immovable. And there have been times thinking back here where it would be harder for me to not believe than to believe, looking back. I had God's help. I had God's help. And resting in faith, Hebrews again tells us, entering the promise, there's a rest. There's a peace. How do you know you're unmovable? Well, when you get there and think about it, and it seems like it'd be harder to not believe than to believe. Can you get there? Yes. Well, yeah, Pastor Dan, you can get there. And some of the, you know, you faith champions, you can get there. No. Everyone. One of the things I've been doing ever since this happened with Pastor Sandy, and I've been teaching in this congregation, I am reaching for you. Whoever, you know, you might say is the least among us, or starting from an unstable point, or weak in soul, whatever you want to call it, I'm reaching for you, and I'm trying to get you to see you can do this. You can win. You can conquer. You can beat anything and everything. And I invite you to follow along in the path that we're cutting. This is new territory for me. This is the big one. The Lord said to me one time, well, you're in the main arena. You're in the big show. Or if it were boxing, something like this, the main event. Or the Kentucky Derby, the main event. You know, they have other horse races leading up to the one. Well, for us, this is the one. But whatever battle you may be facing, and you may be coming to the one in your life, or you may be already been through the one in your life, you may come to, and then you might find out what was the main arena that you graduated. Oh, there's a bigger arena? Yeah, there is. And I'm not wishing that on anyone. I'm not wishing that on you. But many here have been through some tough fights. Maybe you won. Maybe you only won to a measure. Some of us have not won those battles. But I'm reaching for every single one. You can be a prospered soul, an anchored soul, and you can win these battles. And it may be a little at a time, but you can win these battles. Amen. Turn with me to James chapter 1, please. I tell my stories not to brag or call attention to us, just to show or describe the road we're walking so you can walk it too. Now, our smartphones with GPS in them has kind of changed things, but it used to be when you needed to travel somewhere and you might have been just a little confused, you'd stop and ask directions. Yeah. I'm giving you directions to the destination. That's all I'm doing. And telling you, you can walk the road that's ahead of you. I'm giving you the signposts and where the rest stops are, where the filling stations are, where there's energy to keep going. Just describing those things to you. That's all I am. I'm just a man pointing the way. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wouldn't you just like to rip that out of your Bible? These words, yeah. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, said the man who came out victorious on the other side.
Yes.
You understand that? When you're in it, it's no fun. The only thing I can think of on some of these things, you know, like the scripture talks about how a woman, when she gives birth to a child, forgets her travail.
Yes.
But he's telling others, here's the roadmap, you're going to win. So count it joy. We're going to win this fight.
Right.
We're winning this fight. It says this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, there's how you get patience. Have your faith tested. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, or maturing and completing work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We lack something until we come out victoriously past these tests. And that's why we go through them. It completes something in us. It produces patience. It produces strength in faith. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. When you're in the middle of it, you just don't know up from down. How do we get out? How do we handle this, God? What do I need? Remember my thing I said early on a few weeks ago? Every night I'd wake up and say, Lord, what do I need to learn today? What do I need to do today? What do I need to say today? That is a way of asking for wisdom every day. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He won't ridicule you if you don't know what to do. And he'll give generously his wisdom. It says, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed by the wind. Sounds like an unanchored soul. Then it says, verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being unanchored, unprospered, receiving from the Lord comes into question. Am I not? But the Lord intends for me, remember 3 John 2, to prosper in all things and be in health. The Lord intends for me to have plenty and to be healthy, but I might not make it. I might not make it because my soul might not be prospered in those particular areas. I might not be anchored. I might be going by emotions and fears and what mama says and anything but what the word says. Reading on again, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. This scripture is talking about the soul. What is it to be double-minded? Well, we just looked at unstable. It's changeable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're, yes, we're going to win. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to get a hold of that soul and say, nothing like that. And bring it back. Bring it back. These thoughts of defeat will occur to you. Yes, they will.
Yes.
And they may come again and again and again. But you don't obey them. And you don't say them.
Okay.
I've wrote some things for the book that's going to be coming out of all this experience. And I wrote them as just phrases mostly to remind me. And oh yeah, from that, I'll remember everything I need to. And I'll be able to write a whole chapter on that. And one of them, my daughter-in-law Emily was over helping me care for Pastor Sandy the other night. And I'm sharing those with her. And one of them really caught her attention. She liked, 1,000 thoughts I'll never say. Or 1,000 thoughts I refuse to say. Man, I thought of things. Things like, what kind of coffin would I choose if I had to choose a coffin? Embalm or cremate? But I never spoke such things. I realized, I'm not going there. That's one of those, there's no fruit on that tree.
There ain't no fruit on that tree, right.
So I'm not deciding. Now that may be kind of an extreme thing, but 1,000 thoughts. It's hyperbole, 1,000. You know, I'm sure there wasn't 1,000, I said, but I bet you there was a couple of 100 thoughts that would come to you, that it would occur to you, and I mean, it was nonstop. I told you already, between my exit off the highway and the hospital where we were in Texas, there was 2 funeral homes. I wonder if that's a good one. Boy, they got a beautiful limo. Well, that one's got a horse-drawn carriage. 1,000 thoughts I refuse to say.
Amen.
That's part of being a stable, single-minded, anchored soul. So again here, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you'll do this in one place, you'll do it in another. And when it comes time for you really need to have a victory, if you haven't been having the small victories of being anchored, single-minded as opposed to double-minded, stable, if you haven't won the small ones, you're not going to win the big ones. Well, I'll just buckle down and really get after it when it's a big one. If you haven't done it with the little ones, you're not going to do it with the big ones. And that's one of the reasons many small tests come to you. You having a good day? Oh, I was, but then, guess what? Opportunity to overcome and win a battle and to be a practiced, winning, conquering warrior. Amen. Now, when the big one comes, they all work the same. This works the same whether it be, I need 10 bucks. Or I told you my donut story, right? Believe in God for a donut. That's more like a drill. Practice. There'd be nothing wrong with having some drills and some practice. You could design them. I designed that one myself. I heard the story of a man believing for a donut. I said, Lord, I'm going to do that. That's incredibly small, but quite specific. And I'm going to believe you. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just believing for a donut. I'm not going to repeat the whole story, but the next day, Pastor Webb brought me a donut. We never stop for donuts, and it's really, you know, not so good for you to eat, but we did. Here, you want a donut? You bet I do. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's a donut from heaven. Practice. You can even design some of these things. Choose. I'm going to believe God for. And now when you choose it, make it something that you're sure is achievable at your level of faith. If you want to start out with, I'm going to believe God for a Lamborghini, and then I know God really moves. Oh, does he move? You bring me, or maybe a Maserati. Don't do that. You'll frustrate your faith. It's too much for you right now. We're believing God for $1 million. Well, if you haven't believed God and successfully achieved a 500,000, how are you going to do 1 million? We grow in these things. Start for $100 or something like that. Start for $10. Or I'm going to believe that God is going to have someone bless me with lunch, and I'm going to know it's God. Because nobody ever asked me out for lunch. If that's your testimony, by the way, the problem is you need to start asking other people out for lunch and sowing that seed.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just saying start somewhere where you know it's achievable. Watch God move. Learn how to do that. Learn how to fight with wooden swords, sparring, and you'll eventually get to the sharp two-edged sword, right? So the unanchored soul is double-minded. We would say this, that person's confused. And when it comes to healing for your body or, you know, somebody says something to you like cancer. Some people call that the C word, the big C word, you know, cancer. They don't even want to say it because it's so scary. Well, are you confused about what God's will is for you? Are you confused where the answer is? Are you confused on how do I do this? All that? Deal with that. Grow, graduate, learn. And if something is said to you that's just a report that you don't want to hear, you're not double-minded. You get to work. You step into action. And notice, confused, unstable, unpredictable, I wrote this too, grasping for straws. It's a phrase we use because you'll see many Christians, many believers who even would say, I believe in healing. Then something happens in their body. They start wondering, I wonder where Benny Hinn's ministering. Maybe he's got the anointing I need. Right? Or I heard evangelist so-and-so is coming to town. I better get in that meeting. Now, God can move on you and can tell you get in so-and-so's meeting. And it can come by laying out of hands and the miracle-working power of God. But you understand, workings of miracles, gifts of healings, are in the list of gifts of the Spirit, which it says there in 1 Corinthians 12. that are as the Spirit wills. In other words, it has to be a sovereign choice of God to intervene. But what we always have is the Word and standing in faith. We may be a recipient of an instantaneous deliverance and a miracle, but that's not always the case. I think I pointed that out even before we did the sermon last week. Remember we did that thing about confessing hands were laid on me. The healing power of God is at work in me. Yeah. It's working now. By the way, have you stuck with it?
Yes.
Good. Stick with it. Stick with it. Because when I say grasping for straws, people think, well, I had hands laid on me, but it doesn't seem to be working. I'll try it again. And then you end up trying it again. And what happens is you keep going through the motions and you never released faith really ever once. And you never stuck with faith ever once. Mm-hmm. It's like playing a lottery. Mm-hmm. That's double-mindedness. And let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from God. Now, there's nothing wrong with someone laying hands on you if you're sick. And someone saying, can I pray for you? And they lay hands on you again. Receive that with thanksgiving that someone loves you, cares for you, and is ministering the word to you. But don't be looking, well, it didn't take last time. I wonder if this person's got the mojo to make it happen. We start measuring people's gifts. Pastor Dan, we need brother so-and-so to come because I'm sorry, but you just don't got it. Now, some of you are going, ooh, like that, but I've heard that said many different ways. Many times in our church. Now, there is a value to bringing certain guest ministers. They bring things that I might not have. I'll grant you that. But we looked at Mark 16. Them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's how it works almost all the time. So who is qualified? Well, I believe I'm qualified. I could lay hands on you. Do you believe?
Yes.
Do you lay hands on the sick?
Yes, I do.
So you're qualified. You have been. There you go. But now even Jesus would minister and he would say, if I can, all things are possible to him who believes. Or the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So in other words, Jesus himself and the gifting in Jesus, which was perfect, was not the whole answer. And if Jesus needed the faith of the individual to receive, right. You darn tootin', I do, if I lay hands on someone.
That's right.
And you do, and Brother Super Evangelist does, yeah. And Mr. Miracle Worker on TV also needs faith of the individual to be involved. This is what I mean by grasping for straws. Maybe this time it'll work. Maybe this brother's got it. Maybe this sister's got it, you know. That's what I'm talking about. That's grasping for straws. Or maybe I'll see this doctor and he's got the answer. Well, that doctor may be a help, but you have to recognize when you're grasping for straws. What we need to lay hold of, that we looked at that scripture, is the word. This hope that's an anchor for the soul. Right? So we better get single-minded, we better get anchored, we better have a prospered soul. How do you do that? I started on it last week, Romans 15:4. Let's go there. Romans 15:4. Actually been talking about it all the way through. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning. This is talking about the scriptures. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Reading our Bibles, hearing good anointed Bible teaching and preaching, listening to tapes, reviewing it yourself, reading your Bible, all of that, what does it do? It produces hope. Notice also that having the scriptures become part of our knowledge, that's in the soul, right? Knowledge. Having it become part of the governor over our emotions, patience and comfort come. Now, it's good to comfort one another, but I've never been very good at comforting anybody with anything other than the words of God. Those that have comforted me most are those who call my attention to a scripture that is right on time, just the perfect word. Pastor Webb pointed out to me, 1 John, I think it's chapter 5, verse 3, where it says, you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And he pointed that out to me right when I was hearing what the doctors were saying, and it's hard on you, right? Sometimes hearing those doctors' reports. And I realized I had the witness of God and the report of God before I had the report of the doctor. So the doctor's the Johnny come lately. And actually, I already heard from God. So whatever you're saying, okay, if you tell me this or this has happened, fine, I get it. That's the present medical condition. But what the doctor wanted from me, and he's used to, is my full respect as to what's going to happen going forward. And honestly, and Christians do this too, everybody asks, well, gee, doc, what going forward? What can I expect? And I never asked them that question. And that's what frustrated them with me. Don't ask the doctor, well, how does this go? What's my chances? What's your prognosis? Because I already had the prognosis of God. I already had the report of God. And to believe what the doctor said about she can't wake up, she'll never do this, she'll never do that, it was contrary to what God already told me. The witness of God to me was greater.
Amen.
So, doc, I hear what you're saying, but you don't get to predict the future. That's for me to say. That's for God to say. I am the number two in authority concerning my wife. First is her. And I happened to know her reaction to what happened to her because she texted a response to Pastor Webb. And Pastor Webb brought her a scripture. She texts back, agreed and declared. I know where she's at. She's spoken. That's her authority. She's released her faith. I'm number two in authority because I'm married to her.
Right.
And I'm presently standing as her defender and her champion. Yes. And I say, God told me with long life will he satisfy us and show us his deliverance, his salvation.
Yes.
He told me it's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And he told me that he came that we might have life and have it more abundant. Now, I won't be satisfied with an incapacitated wife. And I won't call it abundant life if she can't do what she used to do. So I will have abundant life. I will be satisfied. And that was his report. That's God's report. That's God's witness. And doc, you're telling me she can't do this? I'm sorry. You're too late. God has already spoken. I wasn't double-minded. I was anchored in my soul.
Amen.
And if I wasn't, we'd have gone down in a loss.
Yes.
See, when I go back there and touch it a little bit, it's pretty strong. And it involves passion and emotion.
Yes.
Emotion can serve you. Your soul can serve you instead of you serving it.
Yes.
Anger can be a great asset. In Ephesians, it says, be angry and sin not. God gets angry. There's some things you need to get angry about. Amen. So, patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope comes from the Scriptures. Hope, again, confident, favorable expectation. Where does a confident, favorable expectation come from? It comes from the Word. If you need hope in your life, I can tell you where to get it. You're actually on track. You're here right now gaining hope. Aren't you? We go through these scriptures. Someone's laying out a roadmap before you that you can follow. Glory to God. That's where hope comes from. Nothing and no one else can provide this hope. If you're really looking to your pastor, aside from a pastor doing these kinds of things for you, if you're looking to mama, a spouse, your kids, no one can provide this hope that I'm talking about to you except God himself speaking a word to you. The written scriptures, and he also can speak in your own heart. One occasion leaving her at the hospital in Indiana, I just broke down and cried as I left. That was always the toughest part of my day, was leaving her behind in the hospital. And I'm in my truck, just tears, you know, making a mess a little bit and all that. And the Lord said, son, she's going to be fine. And that brought such comfort to me. And when the Lord speaks to your heart, you know, he can add tone of voice to it. And it was just like that. It was, son. I mean, there was tenderness in it. She's going to be fine. I said, you're right. What am I doing over here? I know she's going to be fine. I feel pain, Father, you know, all that, you know, but she's going to be fine. I thank you. She's going to be fine. Hallelujah. She's going to be fine. Amen. No one else can do this for you. In fact, one day when I was just kind of all messed up, I thought, I need to call somebody. I need to talk to Pastor Webb. And I was talking to him. I had talked to Pastor Nancy. I had talked to Doug Jones. I had talked to a wide variety of ministers and people that shared scripture with me and all of that. But I thought that one particular day, I thought, no, I don't need to call Pastor Webb. I need to call God.
Amen.
And I need to work this out, me and him. Me and him. Because I am not going to get everything I need from Pastor Webb. Everything I need is with God. Now, he may use Pastor Webb. He may use other people to give me bits and pieces and help me. And it's good to have believers with you. It's life-saving to have other believers with you, really. But you got to know how to connect up with God and get this hope from him. Amen. Yeah, I think I'm just going to save the rest that I have here. So it's going to come through the scriptures, and I'm going to show you more about that, how you can gain this hope, this confident, favorable expectation, how you can anchor down your soul so that if a challenge comes, you'll do what you need to do. You won't be destroyed. You won't be devastated. I've stayed away from, I don't think I've used the word yet, tragedy. Just thinking back, I don't think I've ever, you know, a tragedy has come to our life. I haven't said that. And there's other people's, you know, people talk about life-changing experiences. Well, it is life-changing, but not the way they mean that. They mean that you lived one kind of life, and from now on, you're going to live another kind of life. Permanent disability, people talk about that. When you undergo a life-changing, you know, kind of thing. I've refused such talk, and don't go there. I just won't go like that. I'm following out the word, and I'm sticking with it, sticking with it. And I'm hopefully teaching you how to be anchored, how to be a prosperous soul, how to win these battles. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. We bless you for your word. We thank you for the clear path that you lay out by the scriptures, how we can win again and again and again. We thank you for the good testimony that comes from winning the battle. We thank you that we have the good and precious promises of God, even though we'll obtain them by fighting the good fight of faith, we do obtain them. So, Father, I thank you in all of these things today. I thank you for strengthening me and others as we're particularly involved in the restoration of Pastor Sandy. But we also say that Renew Church is rising again and moving forward with the vision that you have for us. We say that to the person here in this building and all who will hear my voice by recording, you are being strengthened and stabilized. Your soul is being anchored. Hope, confident, favorable expectation is growing in you, and you are well able no matter what comes your way. God will not allow more than you can bear, but he provides a way of escape. And the way of escape is fighting and winning the battle, and we'll do so with hope and faith. So, Father, we thank you for these things today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.